really don't even have a grasp on how much God really wants to bless us and how great God is going to use this congregation. If you could ever see it, if you could ever get a glimpse of it, then it would help you not to compromise when you know what's at stake. Some of y'all are this close and then you mess up. You get so close, you're right there on the edge of a breakthrough, and then turn and go back the other way. I'm gonna tell you, keep on pressing on. Don't stop. Keep pursuing God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my new book titled Praying Colossians 1. I'm excited about this new book because it teaches you how to pray the Colossians 1 prayer in a way that is practical, insightful, and relevant for our lives today and guaranteed to get results. You will pray the perfect will of God and be able to put into practice the principles that are outlined in this prayer. You will also increase your faith and experience a closer walk with the Lord. Your prayer life will never be the same again. To obtain your copy of my new book, Praying Colossians 1, go to our website, www.thewordcc.com or amazon.com. Or you can obtain a copy by calling 318-442-8100, and we'll get it sent to you right away. The book is available for $7.95. Order your copy today, Praying Colossians 1. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
experience today. Glory be to God. Reverend Mays, I want you to come and be my reader today. All right, would you stand to your feet and get the Word of God opened and before you. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to hear your Word. We praise you and thank you for what you have chosen to say to us today. Give us receptive hearts. Give us a mind to hear and to know what it is that you desire us to know. And we pray, God, that we will all be submissive and surrender our will to your will for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon a tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry.
Amen. All right. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, what God promised, he will perform. What God promised, he will perform. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You may be seated in the presence of God. Habakkuk is dealing with a burden that's heavy because it is the burden of the people of God. He's the watchman. He is the man between God and men who watch for danger. He's the trumpeter who will cry out and blow out the signs of warning, the signals of warning when danger is impending. He's the one who stays in a place of prayer and preparation, of observation and vision, so that he may be able to give the people sufficient warning about the things God is saying and about the things that he sees that will destroy them. But his problem now is that God has given him this position and given him this problem, and yet he's asking the Lord, how long will it be that I call out to you, I talk to you, I pray to you, and you won't answer me? All right. How long will it be that you show me violence, but you won't save? It's perplexing, it's disturbing, and yet in this first chapter, in verse 3, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, and verse 17, he asks five questions that God has not answered him on. And so in chapter 2, Habakkuk takes a stand. He says, I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower. Now, what he was saying here was, since God has not answered me yet, and I put my concerns before him, I want to make sure that I'm not sitting down on the job, that I'm not lazy, slothful, that I'm not paying attention. I will stand upon my watch, be vigil. I will make sure that I'm alert. Then he says, I will set me upon the tower, which is the highest point in the kingdom's watch, as a sentinel to be able to see one horseman or 1,000 horsemen coming to attack the city and to be able to warn them of danger before danger arises. Arrives. And so he's making clear his position, number one, is a position of patience. A position of patience. Why is this so important? Because God doesn't always answer us when we think he ought to answer us. God considers our questions and God weighs our questions. And listen, God doesn't have a problem with you questioning him. His problem is with you trusting him. And so here he's dealing with Habakkuk. Habakkuk has asked him five questions that God has not opened his mouth to answer one of them. And so Habakkuk knows something is not quite right here, but he wants to make sure he's in a position that when God does speak, he's ready to listen. He says, I will watch to see what he will say unto me, because he knows that he's responsible for the answer of God. He's responsible for getting it right from God. He's responsible for understanding what God will say when he speaks. Now, this is important, but it's also important because at the end of that first verse, he wants to see also what he will answer him when he's reproved.
All right.
Now, why is that important? Because obviously Habakkuk has figured out that somewhere, some way, somehow, he's missed something. And he already knows that when God answers him, there's going to be a rebuking in there somewhere. Y'all don't hear me? You know, when God takes too long to answer, there's usually something wrong with your questioning. And when God gives you the answer, he also straightens you out while he's answering you. But I want to say this to somebody who's waiting on the Lord for an answer. Take your time and listen carefully for the voice of the Lord. Don't get in a hurry where you're rushing the answer. You are almost making up the answer because you think God wants to do it this way. Listen, when God gets good and ready, he'll answer your question. Some people say, well, I've been praying for the Lord to tell me what he wants me to do. Can I tell you when he's ready for you to do what he wants you to do? He will tell you. Don't get ahead of God. Don't jump in where you fit in, because that may be a place that God has not reserved for you. And so he then moves on to verse 2 and says, and the Lord answered me and said. Now, what a blessing, because here's what he knows. The Lord has answered him. He ain't made it up. He didn't get impatient and try to figure it out. He said, and the Lord answered me and said. Well, what did he say, Habakkuk? Here it is. Write the vision. Write the vision. And what would I do with this and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it? Now let's break this verse down a little bit, because what he's really telling Habakkuk to do is publish plainly in print the vision. Publish plainly in print the vision. Why is that so important to publish plainly in print the vision? Because what will happen when he writes it upon the tables plainly? It will not need an interpreter for the average person to understand. Not only will it not need an interpreter to understand, but it will be a message board whereby people who would come, every city had a place of gathering where people could come and find out what was the latest news. It was like a message board. It was like a bulletin board. It was like a place where they could find answers and get the latest news. God tells them to write it upon the tables. He says, because when you're sleeping, Habakkuk, the message board will still be talking. And it'll be talking so clearly and plainly, no one will have to wake you up, come get you, try to figure out what you're saying. I want you to make it so plain that it is published 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. And when they get through reading it, they'll take out running. Now, Let's go back, because there are some interesting points I want to pick up along the way. First of all, God has spoken to him now. And he tells him, write. From this word, write, there are two interesting words we get. One is register. And register means to document. Register means that you say, it was 7:55 on Tuesday morning, January, X and so-and-so day and year. Now, I'm registering what I have to say. Because one of the things that you're going to realize is when God says something to you, he expects you to take it to heart and give it the proper and necessary commitment to understanding it and documenting it for later time. One of the things you must know is that when God gives you a word, the devil tries to steal that word. That's why it bothers me when folk come, you know, to Bible study and come to church and they don't want to write down what they hear and God has a word for them, a rhema word, a blessed word, and they let it go in one ear and they shout when they get it, but before they can get home, the devil has stolen it from them. Or before next week gets here, the devil has taken it from him. I agree with the fact that some great mind, greater than mine, has said, the dullest pencil is better than the sharpest mind. Because one of the things you're going to realize is when you register it, document it, that the Lord has said, it's like a diary. You're writing it down and you are able years later, months later, weeks later, days later, to come back and revisit that. The other word is not only register, but record or record. You document when he told it to you, and you record what he said. Amen. Now listen to this. Because one of the things about a record is when you write it down, it's going to be the same thing you wrote down whenever you come back around and read it again. When you record something, the recording is going to be the same no matter when you play it back, in the morning, in the noonday, in the midnight hours. It's going to say the same thing you said, or the writing is going to read the same thing you wrote.
That's right.
It does not change. Let me tell you one interesting thing about a recording. I had a friend, still a good friend of mine, but I was back in Louisville, and it was during the time when Anita Baker and B.B. Winans made the song, Ain't No Need to Worry, What the Night Is Gonna Bring, It'll Be All Over in the Morning. Ain't no need to worry. Y'all know it. So anyway, we love this song. And at the end of the song, Anita Baker says, take your prize and go home. My friend said, Anita Baker ain't said no, take your prize and go home. I said, well, yes, she did. But I heard that song 1,000 times. I ain't never heard her say, take your prize and go home. I said, you wasn't listening well. So I said, I tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll buy you a dinner if she didn't say, take your prize and go home, and you buy me a dinner if she did. So we put on the song. And man, we were enjoying it till it got to the end. And I turned up the volume louder. So at the end, when Anita Baker said, take your prize and go home, I looked, I said, give me my prize so I can go home. Just because my friend didn't hear what she said didn't mean she didn't say it. She said it over and over and over. Every time the record played to its end, she said it because it was a record. It was a recording. And that's one of the things that you've got to understand that's good about a record or a recording. It's going to say the same day 1,000 years from now as it said the day it was recorded. And now there's a point to that. Because I think you need to understand, when God gives many of us a word. God gives us so many things. We miss it because we don't take the time to register it or record it. And how many times have you been so tired or sleepy that you wouldn't get up because it got, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning when you got that word, but you're going to wait till in the morning. And when you got up, you could only remember some of it. And you tried to say, now what else was that? I knew. And could never pull it up. And the devil robbed you of a blessing. Well, listen again. He says, write what? The vision. Now, this is an interesting word because there are four words connected with vision. And they are dream, revelation, oracle, and prophecy. Now, when the word speaks of vision, it's speaking of dreams, speaking of revelation, it's speaking as of the oracles of God and of prophecy. Dreams are usually associated with inspiration. Revelation is associated with information. Oracles are usually connected with instructions. And prophecy is usually connected with impressions. Impressions upon the present concerning the future. Now, one of the things that you need to understand is God is saying to Habakkuk, I'm giving you a vision. Let me also say again, if you can make the vision so plain, if you can draw a picture of it, if you can put it in terms of something you can see, whether it's in word or in pictures, where you can recall and recount the story, it is usually to inspire you. As a matter of fact, when God gives us a vision of something or a dream that this is what he's going to give us, he's going to do for us, it would be wonderful if you're able to go into a magazine somewhere or if you're able to draw and you put that before you and you thank God daily for this vision of what God's going to give you, of what God. How many of you have ever had a dream car? All right. Dream house. Dream this. And you got a picture of it because it looked like this. And people see that, what's that? That's my dream car. Well, what does that do? That helps you to stay focused on your dream. It helps you not to forget that that's what God showed you. That's what God promised you. It stays before you. The reason God wants a vision to stay before you is because he wants you to come bring it to pass. Listen, the only reason why he gives you a dream and then wake you up is because he wants you to make the dream come alive. So when you begin to understand that, you then take the dream and you begin to put it into a goal or a plan. All right. Because when God has given, you know, you're praying, you pay your tithes and your offerings, you're asking God, God, I want this, I want that. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to open this door, I'm going to give you this idea, and I want you to bring it to pass. Well, then you're to get up and document this thing, write this down, and then you're to begin formulating how you're going to bring this to pass. There are three things that every goal must have. The first thing is focus. Focus. You have got to get you a plan so that you can understand how you will proceed with bringing this vision to pass. See, people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And if you don't plan, you will fail every time because life happens. And if you don't have a picture of what it is that you're going toward, that you're bringing into manifestation, that this goal is designed to make happen, then life will happen. Things will be thrown up. And before you know it, you'll get so far off course that you will not be able to accomplish what God gave you to separate you in this world from those that he did not give this dream to. So focus is the first thing in the goal that you must have. But then second thing is follow through. Because once you focus and get your plan together, the old folks say, plan your work and work your plan. You have got to follow through on what you have already prescribed as the parts to the plan that need to come first. Then you start putting piece by piece this plan like a puzzle together. And as you follow through, you start seeing the dream come to pass. You start seeing the pieces to the puzzle fit and make the picture that you saw in the dream. Yes, this is starting to look like what God showed me. But then you also have a third component to the goal, and that's a finish time. Because sometimes folk have a focus and sometimes they have follow through, but they fail to put a finishing time. If they don't have a finish time, here's how the devil tricks you. You never get to finish it. Because you have not mandated that by this time I'm going to be through. Because when you follow through, listen at this, you have got to put programmed points of progress in that plan. In other words, when you look at this thing and you start from the beginning and say, this is my plan, now by this time I ought to have this done, by this time I ought to have that done, that's called program points of progress. You've got to have program points of progress to help you know I'm on target or I'm behind time or I will not finish this by my target date because I'm taking too long to get to this next level. And then lastly, you have got to have a day for presentation of product or project for this thing to be finished. And when you have that timeline, you are working according to a finish time. Finish time. And therefore, at the end of that, you will have a product or a project ready to present. That's how people accomplish things. That's how they achieve things. That's how they get to the next level. That's how they keep taking it up higher and higher because they learn how to operate according to these principles. So you write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Now, here's what is important. I've heard this quoted over and over again, and most times I heard it quoted, it was out of context. Most folk said, you know, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it, and they put it in a pleasant context, like it's shouting good news, wonderful news, like, oh, God's been ready to do this, that, and the other. Yeah, he is, but it ain't what you think it is. And so what this means is Habakkuk is giving the people of God a warning to get their house in order. Habakkuk is saying to them, God is getting ready to bring an attack on you for not getting yourself together. What upset and bothered and bewildered Habakkuk was though Israel, the people of God, had messed up and done wrong and fallen short, he was going to use the Chaldeans to straighten out the Jews when they were worse than the Jews. Now, here's what they didn't understand. See, God doesn't work like we work. And God will use somebody worse than you to straighten you out. And you'll be like, well, how can you tell me nothing? You this, you that, you the other. And listen, God can use them because they are no good. Because they don't do the right thing, because they're not. And see, God knows what he's doing. And so he humiliates them by taking a people that was worse than them to straighten them out. But listen, because, now this is what's interesting, because God is particular about his people, when the Chaldeans put their hands on God's people, God caused the Babylonians to take out the Chaldeans. Some of y'all missed that. In other words, when anybody whips God's children but God, God gets somebody else to whip them that whipped his children.